Amen. Thank you for being here last Sunday. It was a fantastic day. It was a special day. I know Sunday morning was just a little bit long, but there was a lot happening on our family fifth Sunday. I appreciate you remaining engaged and attentive and just being a part of what was happening here in the house. And then Sunday night, oh my Lord, if you were here Sunday night, I tried to tell you it was going to be revival. Amen. God was great to us on Sunday night, and I don't know any other word to call it or any other way to describe it but to tell you that it was supernatural. And I know there were some that were not here or could not be here, and you've listened to the podcast, and I've heard back from you that it just, you know, lit you up, that it blessed you. I've had people from really across the country who have messaged in this week and said that they were listening to that service or have listened to that service and how they were blessed, even hundreds of miles or even thousands of miles from Covington, Georgia. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the anointing that was here. I'm grateful for the Spirit of the Lord that was here. I'm grateful for what God is doing. And it really set up the direction that we are going in the next few weeks, or for the next few weeks, talking about miracles. Miracles. I want to talk about the supernatural. I want to talk about God's ability to move and God's ability to work. But how many understand there are many different kinds of miracles? And I really feel like we have been on a journey so far this year, God just renewing our faith, reviving our faith, positioning us to be able to believe God for the things that He wants to do, getting us ready, setting us up. And we've been working hard throughout the house, throughout many different departments, throughout many different areas, just trying to get our church healthy, to get us into a place where we are prepared, where we are ready to see God work and see God move. Amen. We oftentimes pray for a harvest of souls. We pray for many, many people to get saved and, you know, just incredible, awesome revival, however you would define that, whatever that would mean to you. We pray for that to happen, but we probably do not do a lot of preparation in order to facilitate that happening. So that's some of what we've been doing in recent weeks and in the last couple of series, preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, getting us ready to understand that there is more. There's more that God wants to do. There are miracles that God wants to do. And today I'm going to teach something that I feel absolutely necessary. I believe this from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I want to talk to you about the miracle in your pocket. Amen. The miracle in your pocket. You're like, wait a minute, the bubble gum? The car keys? What all is in my pocket? The miracle that is in your pocket. I want to talk to you about your feelings about money today, and not just your feelings about money, not just your response to money, but what does God say about our money? What does God say about our money? Now, this is May, the first weekend in May, and I've been privileged to be the pastor here since October the 29th. I've been on site since January the 1st, and have preached almost every Sunday except last Sunday with our guest. And this is the first time that I am talking to you about money or about tithe or what God says about that. And I know people get uncomfortable. I know it makes people nervous when we talk about money. But I'm telling you, you need to know what God says about the money in your pocket. You need to know what the Bible says about money. And I know there's all kinds of opinions. There's so many schools of thought, and we'll work through some of that. I'm not going to teach a series about money. I'm not going to be speaking about this next week or the next. This is just one message that I want to talk to you about and how that God wants to do a miracle through your finance, through the finance of this house. So I will do that eventually. I'll do a series and come to you with a few messages and just walk through the subject and teach through the subject. But today is just one message, because I feel this is necessary. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord came so strong Sunday night and talked to us about faith involving our finance, and how that God wants to use people in this house, and how that God wants to do a miracle for this house. But I want you to know how you can be a part of that miracle. I want you to know how you can be involved in what God is doing in this house. Let me ask you this morning. Do you believe that the Bible is the truth? That it is the revealed word of God? John 1:1 said, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word. He came. He came as the Word. We understand that He possessed the Word in His mouth, Jesus. And certainly if we believe that today, if we believe that the Bible is the truth, then we don't want to know what it says about every other subject besides money. We want to know what it says about money as well. We want to know what our response should be to finance, what our attitude should be toward money. We want to know what God has to say about money. And so I want to dig into that just a little bit, because so much has been said about the tithe. There's people that say, well, that's just an Old Testament thing. Well, I'm going to show you today that tithe is in the New Testament as well. Well, every time I come to church, and without fail, every time I speak on money, there's always a house full of guests. All I know to tell you is that God wants you to hear this. Never fails. It's all right. It doesn't bother me, because I'm not trying to throw my own party today. Whatever you decide to do about money is not going to change who I am. It's not going to alter anything about my life. I'm not trying to, yes. When you tithe, it absolutely supports the ministry of this church. But it does so many other things beside that. And so when I give, regardless of what has been said about the tithe or what hasn't been said about the tithe, it's important to look at the Word of God and what it says. Tithe means tenth. It means tenth. It is a tenth portion, or a tenth part. Tenth. And God intended for it to be first. When you look at the origins of the tithe, you go all the way back to the garden, and you see the Lord speaking to Adam and to Eve and saying, you have full run of this garden. You have complete domination over this paradise, but there's one thing that is mine. There's one thing that I reserve for me. There's one thing that I'm asking you not to touch. And God begins to tell them about that tree. It was his portion. Or Cain and Abel, when you read a little further into Genesis. Abel, the Bible says, was a shepherd, and he brought the first. He brought the first portion of his crops. Cain, his brother, was a farmer, and the Bible says that in the course of time, he brought an offering. That was the difference in Cain and Abel. Cain brings it, when he can afford it. He brings it when he has time to bring it. He brings it when everything else is all taken care of and everything else is all settled. But Abel brought the first. He said, you know what? God is so important to me that I'm going to make sure that the first thing I invest in, the first thing I give to, the first thing I spend on is going to be God's work in my life. And there's Abraham. In Genesis 14, the Bible said that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. This is hundreds of years before the law. Because some people say, well, the tithe, it was just a law thing, and that's all been fulfilled. This was hundreds of years before the law. And then Jesus himself endorses tithing in Matthew 23 and 23. He asks, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, he calls them, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Notice the next three words he said, you should tithe. Don't discount that. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. It's not either or, it's both and. It's not just whatever I decide is important. It's not just whatever I decide counts or whatever I decide matters. It's important that I include all of it in my Christian experience. And then Malachi chapter 3 this morning, if you want to turn there or you can look on the screen and follow. I want to read a few verses of scripture in Malachi. These may be familiar to you, but I think when you begin to dig into the history, dig into the reasons why the prophet Malachi was speaking as he was to God's people, then it becomes a little bit clearer. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse number 6, he said, I am the Lord, I do not change. So everyone that says, well, that's just a law thing and that's fulfilled and that's over and done with, the Lord said, hey, I want you to tell them this first. I am the Lord and I do not change. Whatever was my law then is still my law now. This is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Verse 7, ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? He says, should people cheat God? You have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. I love that. I love that. And the book of Malachi, it's just these few chapters. And it's so interesting when you study the history of this book, because these are God's people. These are the people of Israel. You remember when they were exiled to Babylon, and there they spent 70 years. Their harps hung on the willow. They didn't have their song. They didn't have their joy. Nehemiah is called to rebuild. He starts rebuilding the walls, and God's people move ultimately back in to their promised land, move back into their place of God's destiny and design for their lives. And when you get to the book of Malachi, they have been back in their land for about 100 years. About 100 years. And the Lord begins speaking to them. Why have you left me? You need to return to me. What do you mean we need to return to you? He's saying in common language that you and I understand. He said, you're not acting like people who have been delivered from so much. You're not acting like people who have come through so much. You're not living your lives in the way, living with a testimony, living with excitement. You need to get back to things that matter the most. And he said, you have been cheating me. You've cheated me in tithe and in offering. You have gone away from my principles. You've gone away from my plan. You've gone away from the precepts that I have established for my people, and I want you to get back to them. And if you will get back to them, I am going to open up blessing over your life. If you will get back to them, I am going to revive things in your life. If you will get back to them, I am going to renew things in your life. I'm going to reset things in your life, but I need you to put me first. Put me first. That's the same call that's on all of our lives. And I believe it's the same promise that is available to each and to all of us, that if we will put God first, that God will open the windows of heaven over our lives, open floodgates of blessing in our lives. In fact, today I want to give you five truths about tithing. Five truths about tithing. If you're taking notes, you can just write the word five at the top of the page. I'm going to walk you through five things that I believe are absolute, things that are certainly true, things that will help each and every one of us understand, have a better understanding of what tithing is and how that works. Number one, tithing is bringing back to God what already belongs to Him. Tithing is bringing back to God what already belongs to Him. Because the principle is this: the first 10% of your income belongs to God. It's His. It's not mine. You say, but Pastor Darrell, the check was written to my name. I get that. But the first 10%, the Bible says, is holy and it belongs to God. It's hard to understand that, because you have to understand the difference between bringing and giving. Because it's impossible to give my tithe. You can't give something that does not belong to you. You can only bring it. That's why we talk about returning the tithe, and we bring the tithe, and we give the offering. Because that first 10% is set aside. That is what belongs to God. Anything I give above that, that's out of the generosity of my heart. That's out of the cheerfulness and the excitement and just the joy of giving. That's where that comes into play. But my tithe, I've got to bring that to the Lord, because it belongs to Him. When I begin traveling back and forth mid-November or so, flying in and out until the end of the year. I did that for a number of weeks, and Diane Williamson is up on our media today, and she had an extra vehicle, her sister's vehicle, and she said, you know, here, I want you to use this car. It'll save money on renting a car or whatever, and it's just available. You can use it. You can drive it to the airport and park it there. And so I did that for several weeks. I drove that vehicle back and forth to the airport, all around town, and while I had that for a few weeks, I just treated it as though it was my car. But when it came time to return the car to Miss Diane, I didn't go to Miss Diane with the keys and say, listen, have I ever got a gift for you? I am so excited about giving you this vehicle. I am so excited. Man, it's true what they say. It is better to give than to receive. I feel so good today about giving you this vehicle. No, I can't give something that doesn't belong to me. I can only return it to its rightful owner. I can only bring that car to whom it belongs to. So it doesn't matter if I would have stood there and taken a selfie in front of that car and put it on my Instagram and said, look what God blessed me to do. I gave a car to Miss Diane Williamson. Oh, I would have gotten a bunch of likes, because people wouldn't have known the rest of the story. But somewhere, somebody along the way would have said, hey, wait just a minute, that wasn't your car. It's the same principle with the tithe. Oh, I'm generous. Oh, I, I, I'm a great returner. I return to God what belongs to Him. Maybe you have one of those break room refrigerators at your job. You bring your lunch, or you open up the refrigerator hoping that there's some extra lunch in there. Invariably, there's going to be some piece of Tupperware on one of the shelves, and it's going to have something delicious and wonderful on the inside. And if you look close enough, there's going to be a piece of tape wrapped around that Tupperware dish, and it's going to say, "Do not touch." Don't touch, because this does not belong to you. Do not touch, because this is mine. When you open up the refrigerator of God's goodness in your life and God's blessing in your life, when you open it up just trying to figure out where everything is, when you're looking for what you can use to get by, how you can operate and how you can build your life, there's going to be just 10% sitting on the shelf that says, "Do not touch, because this belongs to God." It has God's name on it. And when you take something that does not belong to you, it's stealing. You say, "Pastor Darrell, that's a strong word." I know. I read it from Malachi. I've just never heard a pastor. Well, then you've never heard a pastor read Malachi, because it's what the Bible says. It's not my idea. Listen, I tithe just like you do. I'm so serious about this. If you walk up and hand me a $50 gift card, I'm going to tithe $5 on the gift card. I want God's blessing in my life. I mean, is it something you're legalistic about? No. I have proven God's blessing in my life. You say, "Pastor Darrell, are you rich?" Lord have mercy, no. But at the same time, I live a life that demands explanation. What does that mean? It means I don't know how I have what I have, or have done what I've been able to do, or how I function as I do. All I can tell you is that every time there is a need in my life, God meets the need. All I can tell you is that every time my back is against the wall, God works it out in my life. Oh, it's because you sing good. It's because you preach. It's because your name is out there on the LED. No, it's not. It's because I am a tither. And the Bible said that when you put God first, He will rebuke the devourer in my life. That means whatever is chasing me, whatever's after me, God has already fought this battle in my life because I have put Him first. When I'm arranging things in that refrigerator, this right here cannot be touched, because this belongs to God. But come on, let's be real, Pastor. Has there ever been one of those weeks where you just needed that amount of money, the amount of money that would be your time, that would solve the problem? There's been a bunch of those weeks. But that isn't mine. That belongs to God. And if I will give it to God, He'll make sure that whatever is nipping at me, gnawing at me, trying to get the best of me, He will make sure that that situation is taken care of. Because I'm bringing back to God what already belongs to Him. The truth is, there's no way that you or I could think that God is going to bless our lives if we are stealing from Him. It's impossible. Doesn't matter how good you sing, doesn't matter how good you dance, doesn't matter how church you dress. If I'm robbing God, if I'm stealing from God, I cannot be blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Say, what do you mean you want to be rich? No, I want to be blessed. I'm not in the business of defining how and from where and all of the ways that God wants to bless me. I just want his favor on my life. I just want God's blessing. Is anybody else? I have a feeling there's somebody else that wants to be blessed. You want God's favor on your life. Then guess what? Bring back to God what belongs to him. Number two, tithing enables your church, God's house, to help people. Tithing enables your church, God's house, to help people. Say this with me. Say, my tithe enables my church to meet my family's needs. My tithe enables my church to meet my family's spiritual needs. How does that work? How does that work? When you give, when you're faithful, it enables us to do what we are doing here every single week. I don't want to scare you with the numbers. I don't want to alarm you, but I mean, this doesn't just happen. My old pastor used to say, this doesn't run on hot air and well water. I'm not exactly sure what he was talking about, but bottom line, he was saying, you need to give. Because this doesn't just happen. And the enemy often tells us, well, your little bit is not going to count. Your tithe, whatever it is today, is not going to count. So you might as well keep what you have and let somebody else carry the load. No. Listen, God does his best work when everyone is involved. Hear me loud and clear. If every single person that calls the church at Covington home, your spiritual home, if we would do our part, if we would do what God has asked us to do, there would be no need for anything else. Yeah. But if it's just a few people carrying the load, it's impossible. And God says, when you get people involved, when you get unity, when you get people excited about giving, excited about returning their tithe, I'm able to help people. I'm able to meet spiritual needs. We have a massive vision. Vision is not the challenge that we're facing. I promise you, there's whiteboards that are filled up. There's legal pads that are filled up. There's smartphone notepads that are filled up. We have vision everywhere. Things that we know God is calling us to do and things that God is asking us to do. But it cannot happen until you and I get in our pocket and say, you know what? There ain't nobody asking me to in my bank account. No one's asking me to give what I don't. They're just asking me to do my part. And if I will do my part, and all of a sudden the vision is funded and we're able to do in this community what God has asked us to do. I had one of those meetings one time back at home. And it was somebody who had a real strong opinion about what we ought to be doing as a church, who we ought to be feeding, who we ought to be, just all of the things that we need to be doing as a church. And listen, there wasn't anything that I disagreed with, not anything that I wasn't on board with. Absolutely, we need to be doing every bit of that, and we're doing a lot of that. But yes, we need to be doing more of that, just having that conversation. But I said, I've got one question. Whose money are we going to use to do all of that? How is that going to happen? Well, I don't know whose money, but it needs to be done. And if it's not done, I'm going to leave this church. I said, well, since you put it that way, I checked your giving before I came to this meeting. I ain't been here long enough yet to tell a story like this, have I? I'm going to make note if I come to a meeting with Pastor Darrell. don't think that. But it's amazing that in 3 years, you've given $27 to this church. But you got so many opinions about what we ought to do with everybody else's money. Listen, I'm either invested or I'm not. I'm either contributing, giving a part of what God is doing, a part of His plan. I want to be right in the middle because I want to see my church making a difference in the community. I want to see my church helping people on every front. I want to see my church leading the way in every effort, in every cause, in everything. I want to see my church at the forefront of what is happening in this community, people that are being helped. I want my church to be enabled. I want God's house to be enabled to help people. But listen, just because we have a desire, money does not grow on trees. If we have a desire, we have to put our pocket where our desire is. Is this all right? Anybody gonna come back next week and bring your mama? I'm gonna preach anyway, because this is the truth. It's the truth. Pastor, not mad at anybody. It's just the truth. Tithing enables your church, God's house, to help people. And he said, I want you to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. I meet people all the time. I send $5 over here and $5 over there, $7.50 over there. $2 over here. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's what the Bible says. I know we put our own spin on that, and we try to figure that out, and we try to divide that, and you know, I need some of that to go over here. And you know, Lord, I just felt in my spirit this week that I needed to send some of my tithe to Covington Power. Lord, I don't know what it was. I just woke up Friday morning and felt like I needed to pay my tithe to Walmart. It's the way we think sometimes. It's the way we believe sometimes. No, he said, bring the tithe to the storehouse. Where is my church? That's the first thing you need to establish. Where is your church? If this is not your church, if you don't feel confident giving here, if you don't feel like things are being run properly, and we're happy to help understand any of those things, but if this is not your church, listen, I get that. If this is not where God wants you to be, I want you to be here. But if this is your church, then I also play a part. I also bear some responsibility to help make all of that happen and help keep all of this going. I want to tithe because this is my church. It's my church. The Bible says, like a tree that's planted. You know what? Trees don't get up and move around. When trees are planted, that's where they are forever. When my life is planted in the house of God, it will flourish. When a tree is planted and it has the opportunity to dig roots down, oh, you better believe that will flourish. Let me get to number three. Number three, tithing opens the door for God to move in your life and in your finances. Tithing opens the door for God to move in your life and in your finances. The truth is, I hold the key. You hold the key to your own blessing. You literally do. You hold the key to your blessing. It's the tithe. If you go home from church today, go into your kitchen, into your restroom, and you turn on the faucet and no water comes, you don't assume the world has run out of water. No, you know it's the faucet. And the same principle remains, that If God is not blessing your life, you don't assume it's the source. You have to start looking at the channel. Why is this area of my life not blessed? Why is this not working in my life? Listen, I got saved in my mind. I got saved in my eyes. I got saved in my hands. Saved head to toe, all but one area. I didn't get saved in my pocket. And I'm blessed over here and blessed over there, but I'm not seeing the blessing of God in my finance. Don't let what someone said on TV pervert that for you, or that there's just some gimmick to all of this. No, it's just God's plan that when I put God first, it opens the door for God to move in my life and in my finances. And when you bring the tithe, He'll open the floodgates of heaven in your life. Just look up, look up. Do you see any floodgates? You see any windows above you? No, you see lights and ceiling tiles. It's the truth. We forget that they're there. We forget that God has this heaven thing above us, and He wants to open it up in our lives. He wants to move in our lives. I remember when I first started, I was just fresh out of seminary, and I left college and had two or three revivals lined up. We graduated in May and had a few weeks that I was traveling with the school and a singing group, and then finally about mid-July, I was on my own. It was right in the middle of summer, and had a few revivals lined up, and things were good. But when I got to the end of October, when I got into November, it's holiday season, and you know, churches get busy, and whoever was mentoring me, you know, said, listen, you might consider, you better go and see if you can get a retail job or something, get through the few weeks around Christmas, because no one's going to have you for revival. They check out. You had to kick it back off in January. And so I, you know, just new, trying to figure out all of this, I went and got a job at a department store. I went through the training at the department store, and I had a Sunday night service, just a Sunday night. And then I was starting that job Monday evening. I went on Sunday night a few hours away and preached, and God moved. It was great. The Lord worked. Powerful. And the pastor was saying, listen, I need you to come back Wednesday night. I said, I can't. I got to work. And he said, what? What do you mean? No, you need to start revival. I said, no. They told me, you people, y'all don't like Jesus at Christmas time. And, you know, no. You know what's funny, Felix, is God sent me to a church that didn't even believe in Christmas. That's what's funny about that. They was ready to have revival Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. They was ready to go. And I said, no, I got to have this job. Got to have this job. And he said, well, I'm telling you, you're missing God. And I said, well, all I know to do, I put my name on this and said this is what I was committing to, so that's what I got to do. And I left out of there Sunday night, and they gave me an honorarium for preaching that night. The people gave, wanted to bless, and They gave me more money in that one service than I would make the next several weeks at that department store. And here I am at the department store, out of my purpose, out of God's will for my life, not where God wanted me to be. He said, I'm trying to open up windows in your life because you put me first. You put me first. I remember during that season, they had just paid me, and they had some kind of a system at the department store where you could go and cash your check at customer service. And so I went and cashed the check at customer service, and I had the money folded over, cash money, had it folded over in my pocket. It was the miracle in my pocket. My driver's license, any identification was in a separate place. This was just the cash that I had. And I don't know what happened, because I'm not careless like this. I'm not unorganized, disorganized like this, but something happened somewhere that in the parking lot, I don't know if I reached for keys or what I did, but I pulled that fold of money over and dropped it in the parking lot of that department store. Now, how many know good and well that if you were walking to your car and found some folded over money, you would claim the blessing of the Lord in your life? Hallelujah. I have a feeling if you found money on your way to the car in this parking lot, well, look what the Lord has done. Whoo! I had no identification. All I had was a torn piece of paper that had an insurance claim number. It didn't have the name of the company on it. It didn't have anything. It just was a claim number. And a man walking through the parking lot, I kid you not, the man's name was Bull Durham. It's a true story. Mr. Bull, I don't know what his middle name was, but Mr. Bull found that folded over money and that piece of paper, and he put the number into the internet search engine, and it came back that it was a claim number to State Farm Insurance. He called State Farm and said, look, I've got a claim number. I'm hoping it's attached to someone's name. Someone lost this money. This is a true story. I'm talking about how God will take care of you. How God will take care of you. I get a phone call. We have a message from someone that found money for you. Mr. Bull Durham is on the phone. Son, I don't know who you are, but I found your money. I feel like you probably need it. I said, I absolutely need it. It took about 2 days for him to get a hold of me, but let me tell you what else happened. I'm driving home. This is a true story. If I'm lying, I'm dying. This is a true story. I'm driving home. It's late at night, probably midnight, dark outside. I'm driving, and as I'm driving, my headlights see something setting perfectly in the middle of the road. I drove over it, and something said, you just drove over something important. I backed the car up, reversed, got where my headlights could see what I had seen just a moment ago. What is that? I don't know what that is, but there's something about it that looks familiar. There's something about it that looks appealing. Get out of the car, walk up, and fold it over with no piece of paper and no claim number. Hallelujah. That means it's God. Is exactly double the amount of money that I lost in the parking lot of that department store. Now tell me again why. Why God works like that in your life? Because I'm a tither. That doesn't discount, that doesn't negate the fact that there are people in this room that have incredible financial challenges in your life. I know that. And you're a tither. Listen, I've got a house back home that's sold four times. Four times. I'm frustrated with it. I'm reminding God, hey, this ain't working. I'm paying for two households. This is getting heavy, Jesus. It's all right to remind God. But guess what? At the end of the day, I sleep good at night because it's not my problem. God has to take care of it. And the only reason I can speak that boldly is because I'm a tither. God is obligated to help me. You say, wait a minute, don't talk about the Lord like that. No, he said I could. He said I could command the blessing in my life. Why? Because I've put him first. Let me get to number four quickly. I've got to get to the close. Number four, tithing has the favor of God on it because it's the first. When you put God first, that's what Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. You know what Jesus is teaching about? Jesus is teaching about worry. You know what they tell us? Psychology, statistics of the world, is that 7 out of 10 people worry about money. That means 70% of the crowd in this room is worried about money to some degree. Worried about money. The majority of counseling that I do, conversations that I have in hallways, Pastor, pray this. Pray for me in this area. Pray for me in finance. I need this to work. I need this to turn. I need this to sell. I need this to come through. I need this to happen. We worry. We worry about finance. But the reality is, what I do with the first determines if the rest will be blessed or cursed. And that's what the Lord told him. He said, you've got a curse on you. There's no way things are ever going to turn or work or happen the way you want them to happen. Because when you give first, when you tithe first, it forces you to prioritize your life. It's not, I'm gonna take the family to Disney this month and I'm going to worry about the mortgage later. Suddenly, whatever good memories you made in Disney, they're going to be so overwhelmed because of the poor choice, the bad decision. Because really, there's only 5 things we can do with our money. We can spend it. We can pay bills with it. We can pay taxes with it. We can save it. And we can give it. It's really all you can do with money. And often, this is the order. This is the priority. We spend it. Restaurants are fuller first of the month. Why? Because people just got paid. We spend it. We pay bills with it. We pay taxes with it. If we're really lucky, we save a little bit of it. And then if there's anything left over, I don't know about your devil, but the one in my life, if I play a game like that, I'm going to see if there's anything left over. He will make sure every single time there is nothing left over. Every time. Every single time. He's going to make sure there's nothing left. That's why I got to give first. Got to tithe first. That's the first thing that's going out of my account, because it belongs to God. It's His. Number 5, and I close here, tithing. Tithing is not a money issue. Tithing is a trust issue. Because it's really not about money. Our handling of money is spiritual. What we do with our money is spiritual. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In verse 6 he says, in all your ways. That means when I got saved, my money got saved. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. There's 3 groups of people that are hearing what I'm teaching today. 3 people. There's those that are hearing about tithing for the first time. I mean, you've heard the word. You've heard me say it on a Sunday during giving time. God bless our tithers. It's one of those old words. It's not something you hear every day. You really only hear it at church. You're hearing some teaching today, some truths about tithing for the first time. You know what God's asking you to do? He's asking you to take a step of faith and begin tithing today. Begin tithing. He said, try this. Put me to the test. One time I was teaching about tithing. I gave him a 90-day tithe challenge. If God doesn't bless you in 90 days, we'll give it all back to you. I don't feel the Lord telling me to do that here. I feel like there's somebody to come take me up on it. The truth is, every single person that signed up for the test said, man, I didn't know living like this could be this good. This feels good to know that I'm putting God first in this area of finance. You may be hearing this for the first time today. You may be new to the church. You may be new to this God life. Pastor Brett was telling me last weekend, talking about the goodness of the Lord, and he said, I taught on giving recently and told him this message will change your life. I believe that. It's changed mine. But there was a grown man that came to him after the service, said, I've been coming here for about 6 months. I love this church. I love to hear you preach and teach. I'm learning so much about the Word of God. But why has it taken you 6 months to tell me what God says about money? Listen, we're not going to make it our focus here at the church at Covington. We don't do this every week. This is the first time in 6 or 7 months that I've been connected to the church. But by the same token, I am not ashamed to teach you the truth.
That's right.
Of what God says.
Yes.
You would want me to teach you about prayer. You would want me to teach you about loving your spouse. You would want me to teach you about raising your kids, building your home. Surely you would want to know what God says about money. What do I do? So maybe you're hearing this for the first time. Maybe the other person hearing this is someone who's currently tithing. You're faithful to tithe. Listen, don't grow weary in well-doing. I know sometimes the house doesn't sell, and sometimes things get stretched out, and sometimes things feel as though they're about to break. Don't get weary. All of those emotions are what the enemy wants you to feel. Because when you've moved into the area of trusting God, when you're tied, you're saying, Lord, I need 100% of this money to make it. But I'm going to give you 10 and I'm going to live on 90. Doesn't make sense. But listen, there's a lot of stuff in God's economy that doesn't make sense. And I'm more blessed with 90% than I am with 100%. Don't get weary. Be faithful. And then there's people who used to tithe. Hearing this today, you've done it, been a part of it. You know it's right, but you're not doing it. Listen, there's no judgment. There's nobody's. I say this with all, I don't, outside of a couple of handful of leaders in this house, because that's a requirement. If you're a leader in this house, you got to be invested in this house. I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. When I shake your hand, when I talk to you, I don't know. So I can boldly stand and say this is not personal, but this is God's plan for this house. And it's time for church at Covington, the people of this house, to agree with God's plan, to say we need God's miracles in this house. We need financial miracles in this house. You need them in your life. We need them as a corporate, a body, an entity, an organization. We need them. It's real talk. God said, I can't do that until people put me first. Father, I pray today, people in this house that hear this word, hear this teaching. I know what you spoke to me this week, and I've obeyed you. Now we will decide as a people how we will respond to your word. I'm praying today for those three groups of people, those hearing it for the first time, those that are currently tithing, and those who did at one time. Life happens. Extra expenses come. For some reason, we think we can't afford to do it. But I thank you for speaking to the heart today, rekindling, renewing, reviving the desire, calling us to take a step and do what your word has asked us to do. In Jesus' name.